Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Amen. Amen. And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 11 through 12. And I've entitled this morning's message, The Divine Providence of God. Divine Providence of God. Now, those of you that don't know what that word means, providence, meaning it's God's inclusive plan for the church and also for this world. Can I get amen? In other words, God has already set forth the motion. See, we have to understand that we could be at a track meet in the stands and we see it from an angle. We see where the race starts and how it ends at the very end. Let's just say they're just running 40 yards. But God has an aerial view. He saw before people even arrived. Okay? So God has seen everything on this earth from creation, even all the way through the end of the millennial thousand-year reign. How many believe that God's going to reign for 1,000 years after the tribulation? Oh, that's right. Yes, he is. But one thing is certain, God's going to remove the church first. This is why it's so important. If you haven't stamped your ticket yet, you better stamp it now. Meaning, don't miss your train ride. Can I get amen? Don't miss your flight. Don't miss your bus ride. Because you only get one shot at this here on this earth. And it's clear. Clear. God has laid out what we must do as humans here on this earth is repent, be baptized, be filled with the Spirit, and live a holy and godly life until he comes. That's what God has set in motion as far as the providence of God. Can I get amen? And so, are you there at Psalms 5, 11? We're going to look back at a few short stories of the Old Testament to bring us up to date now. Can I get amen? But let's look at Psalms right here. And it reads, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them." Who defends us? God. "Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Praise God. This is King David now understanding the providence of God. And so, saints, it is seen in this passage that God is willing to bless the righteous and also what? Protect them with divine favor. How many of you want divine favor in your life? Okay. Well, guess what? You need God to impute his righteousness upon you by faith. Without his righteousness upon us, not our self-righteousness, Bible says our self-righteousness is but filthy rags. But it's the great exchange when we give him our torrent heart, our wayward heart, our heart that has rebelled since we were formed in our mother's womb. When we give him that, then he gives us a heart of flesh, and then he fills us with our with his spirit by an act of repentance. And so, when the favor of God is upon a person, that person will be secured and protected to what? To please God, and will never be separated by him. How many love that assurance? We sing a song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, heavenly divine. You know that song. Well, it's sung that way because people understood. They understand the favor of God in their life. And so, saints, the favor of God will come upon everyone that lives in righteousness and will bring many blessings upon them. Praise God. And that's the righteousness of Christ upon your life. But, hear me clearly, a man that refuses to please God will be separated from his favor. Oh, yes, I got scripture to back that up. How many want to be in the right standing with God? Okay, then God give them ears to hear and eyes to see. So, my friends, in this morning's message, we'll be expounding on three biblical principles of our Christian faith regarding the divine favor of God. Let's go back up here on the screen. Let's go here. And let's look at them. Number one, we need to look at the description of divine favor through a biblical lens, not what you think it may be like, not what I feel. You know, we walk around as Christians. Well, I feel this and I feel that. Well, great. Does it line up with Scripture? Number two, the direction of divine favor. How am I walking in divine favor? Am I walking on my own, or is God walking with me? Hallelujah. And then number three, the destruction of divine favor. We can actually foil it. Oh, that's right. We can do self-destruction. Oh, yeah? We got to go to the Word with that. But let's look at the first one. The description of divine favor. Saints, we can see the divine favor operating in the life of even Daniel. When you go back to Daniel, he and all the Israelites were prisoners where? In Babylon. And for reasons that can't be explained in the natural, Daniel had divine favor with the leaders of the land. How many believe that? Oh, that's right. Because the Bible says that. It's clear. Look at this in Daniel 1:9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Listen, there was a decree back during this time. And one of the things was, you cannot pray in the open anymore. Daniel had his window wide open. And he would pray and pray and pray. And they tried to shut it down, but God said, not so. God's going to give them the freedom to pray. And Daniel had favor. Why? Because he was tossed where? Where was he tossed? Oh, whoa, I think that's Jesus calling me. Is that Jesus calling me over there? Listen. The king thought he was in rebellion. So they tossed him in a den of lions. And as soon as Daniel set foot in the den with all them lions, God put them all to sleep. An angel came down. Not our drummer, an angel came down. Hallelujah. Saints, in other accounts, we learn that Daniel had so much favor with the leaders of the land, he was elevated to prestigious positions in the Babylonian kingdom. Wow. When you have favor of God, God will elevate you. And there's nobody you have to step on someone's neck to get there. God will elevate you. Amen? Even though the circumstances, saints of God, were stacked against him, Daniel eventually became the prime minister of Babylon. Wow! That's awesome, isn't it? You see, my friends, when a person is elected by God to carry out his will, God will always see to that person to have his divine favor. How many of you want divine favor? Let's keep on reading here. So we'll go to another story. How many love the story of Queen Esther? I remember back at Temple Beth Shalom, the women got together and celebrated Purim. And I remember all the women in the church dressed up just like the days of Esther. I think we still have some photos on our website. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but if you go to our website, Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, all my sermon notes, PowerPoints, and even the audio MP3, you could download them for free. You could always go back, and then also the YouTube videos there. But Esther was selected among several other beautiful ladies that were qualified to be the queen. So in order for the king to have given her favor, first of all, we're assuming that she was very beautiful as well. And so let's go there for a moment. In Esther 2:15-18, let's read this for a minute. Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the woman, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Wow. Favor already, as soon as she walked in. Look at verse 16 here. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus. Man, if you could pronounce that, let me know. Into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. So the king was looking for a queen. And let's go to verse 17. Look at this. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Vashti thought she thought she had this thing won. She said, I'm the most fairest one of all. It was Esther. See, God, in his providence, his providential mind, already before the foundation of the world, knew that Esther would be the queen for that king. Praise God. And so we saw Daniel just now having favor, and we just seen Queen Esther have favor. Who can think of another one that God has had favor on in the Old Testament? Yes, King David. King David was the most unqualified person naturally in his family. But God rejected others, for God had divine favor for David. You got to remember, when we get to 1 Samuel right now, that the prophet Samuel went everywhere. And he would wear the 12 stones. And when the stones would light up, that was the one who God wanted to select to be anointed king, right? So then he comes to the house of Jesse, and he lines up all his sons, and some of his sons were yoked men of war, men of valor, good men. And the prophet went through each and every one of them. And just imagine what the father was thinking. I know he's going to take that one. He's 6'5", 240, and is yoked. And the prophet went right by him. He said, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Let's pick up the story right here, found in 1 Samuel 16, 11 through 13. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will, what, not sit down till he comes here. Okay, so they went and got the little ruddy kid. He was but so high, he probably smelled like a goat. Come on. He was a sheep tender, wasn't he? And so let's look at verse 12 up here. So he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Wow. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Wow. So we have three witnesses of God's divine favor. Can I get an amen? We read Daniel. We just read about Esther. And now we're reading about King David. How about another character? Who could think of one right now before I bring him up? Joseph, yeah, he had favor, yep. One that hardly anyone remembers, and it's Jabez. Jabez. Jabez was a man that sought the face of God in prayer. Hallelujah. Listen, when you want revelation from God, when you want God's favor, when you want the heartbeat of God, you have to get down and pray. Can I get amen? You got to seek his face. We have to first turn from our wicked ways. Can I get amen? And then God will speak. God will show us of things to come. God will show you danger to come. God will show you your blessings to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Look at that. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. You know, there's some things that sometimes we have to suffer in life. Hallelujah. Before God will make that suffering thing beautiful in his time. Can I get amen? Amen. Well, look at this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. When's the last time you sought God and prayed like that? Enlarge my territory. Hallelujah. This ministry that started out with us years ago, Let It Flow, God has enlarged their territory. Can I get an amen? Why? Because they pressed. They kept serving God, and God kept swinging doors wide open. Hallelujah. Why? Because they have divine favor. Another gentleman we're going to look at a little closely. And this character that I'm going to bring up before us is like us. Before we got saved. I got saved at the age of 30. I don't know how old you were. But prior, I like to say it, my BC years, you would have never thought old Pastor Fee would be saved. Till this day, I run into my old Sweetwater friends from high school, and they still can't comprehend. I used to sling dope with you, man. And now you're over here doing this? See, they don't understand that there's a God, hallelujah. When he makes a sovereign choice over your life, guess what? The gates of hell cannot come against it. See, he already selected you and I before the foundation. Listen, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he already knew you. And he laid out a plan for you already. Can I get an amen? And it's divine. It's supernatural. You could have never wrote this up yourself. And no one could have drawn up your story. Can I get an amen? But God is writing your story right now. Can I get an amen? And he's not done with you yet. Thank you, God. So the next gentleman I want to bring up is Saul of Tarsus. He was called by God to do a great work. And when he was not even thinking about God, God called him when he was due for destruction. He was due for destruction. Who remembers what he set out to do? He wanted to destroy the church called the Way. When the Holy Ghost was poured out, hallelujah, on the day of Pentecost. Let me just ask you this. And we're going to get back to the scripture here. But why didn't they disperse from there and go out like God called them to go out to Samaria, to Judea, and all the ends of the earth? Why didn't they go immediately? See, they got stuck in the four walls. So what did God had to do? He had to bring persecution. And when the church is being persecuted, guess what? Yeah, they may scatter, but it'll grow. Hallelujah. Because he had to bring persecution. He had to bring a guy like Saul of Tarsus. Why? Because he was killing the church. He was the original drive-by. Oh, that's right. He was the real deal house invader. You know, we have house invasions, right? We got carjackers now. We got people that just fly off the handle. They're mad at you, and they'll shoot you. Oh, yeah. You don't want to live in some parts of Chicago today. There's 1,000 being shot at every week over there. Police don't even go in there. And I shared with you why that city's like that. They have a satanic temple right inside of their courthouse. And they have forsaken God. So, God had mercy, grace, and divine favor with Saul of Tarsus. And guess what? Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, God has given you divine favor, grace, and mercy. And if there's nobody sitting around you, tell yourself that. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this story right here. I love this story. It reminds me of someone that don't deserve a drop of anointing. And yet God poured out his anointing. Look at this. Let's go to Acts 9. Let's look at this. Let's read this story. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. Look at this. So that if he found anyone who were of the way, and that's not orale way, it's just called the way. It was called the way. That was the name of that church. It was alive and well, fully anointed by God. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So his mindset was, this is a cult. This is a new age thing in his mind, and I need to destroy it because it's growing leaps and bounds. So no one was coming to their synagogues because it was just what? It was like a dry rub in there. It was all religious. God was pouring out his spirit with this church called the Way. Praise God. Look at verse 3. And he journeyed and he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, I never shared this, but 2-3 weeks before I got saved at the age of 30, 3 weeks prior to that, God had already put in me the hatefulness for sin. I didn't want what I was doing anymore. And I didn't know how to set myself free. But I started having a dislike asking for it. I don't know what happened to Saul here, but what happened to me was totally divine, totally supernatural. But let's read this story right here. Verse 4. No, let's go back to verse 3. And he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light, what? Shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. In other words, what you're trying to do is not going to go far at all. Matter of fact, I'm putting an end to it right now on what you're doing. Look at this in verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. In other words, those men heard the voice of God from heaven as well. But the Bible says God is spirit. So they couldn't see spirit. They just heard a voice, though. Wow. Look at this. Verse 8. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. And he neither ate nor drank. Just imagine, you're on your way to persecute the saints of God. Thinking, man, I got it all together and I'm going to destroy them. And he was knocked off his beast. And then God blinded him. Would that get your attention? Or do you need more proof than that? That would get my attention right away. You'd be walking around like this. Someone had to hold your hand as you walked. Wow. Look at this. Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas. For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. I'd be praying too if I couldn't see no more. Having sight all your life, and now you can't see no more, I'd be praying. I'd go on a fast. I would want my sight. How many would want your sight back? Amen. Or would you rather just stay in blindness? My goodness. Go to the place called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Look at verse 12. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Now, this is a natural response from Ananias, because if you were part of the way and you saw brothers and sisters being thrown to the lions, having their house invaded, having been burnt at a stake, having been hung upside down on a cross, you wouldn't want nothing to do with this man, would you? Because he had a whole lot of authority and power. He was Saul of Tarsus, the rabbi of all rabbis. He was from the line of Benjamin, a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He was the attorney of the day. And look what it says. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Wow. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Wow. Once again, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel. Oh, that's right. Ain't nobody different than Saul of Tarsus in here, because a lot of us did the same things he did. Can I get amen? Amen. Some of us were caught up in gangs, trying to kill one another, stab one another. I seen people get shot in front of me. For what? For nothing. I seen people OD'd in front of me. We were no different. But God made a sovereign choice, and he chose you and I. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is what I love about God. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Can I get amen? That can't be you. Is that really you now? I'm glad you found God because you needed him. Oh, you've had that before, huh? Little do they know when they're doing this, there's three of them pointing right back at them. You don't have to say nothing. You don't have to rebuke them. You know why? Because we know where we came from. And you have to pray that they need to get to the place you are at right now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Jesus, help us. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and saying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus. You know what I love about being a child of God? God using us to lay hands on someone and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? You've heard my testimony. Brother Felipe touched me like this. And I went into tongues for 3 hours. Nonstop. He didn't grab me by the head in the name of Jesus and try to break my neck. He just touched me. Look at this. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was what?
Baptized.
What?
Baptized.
He got baptized right away, didn't he? That's the key. Later on in the book of Acts, it says, have you received since you believed? There's a lot of folks, they believe, but they, baptism? Nah, I don't want to do that. Okay. Now, let's look at this now. The direction of divine favor. The direction. We've seen now, back here, we've seen the description of divine favor. Now we're looking at the direction. And saints of God, there are many ways God can guide you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If your heart and life are centered on God, his word, and his Holy Spirit, you can rest assured, saints of God, that he will direct your path. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God's primary means for giving us guidance is the word of God. Look what it says in John 3 and 5 right up here. Look at this. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Are you catching this? And then, when the Holy Ghost fell, this is what I don't understand. Jesus said, he said it best, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And Amos, it says, I, the Lord, I change not. So, when the Holy Ghost was poured on Pentecost, that was the first church. Can I get an amen? And they got it right. But as time went by, men put their hands in it.
Right.
Men put everything else other than what was originated. And it's no longer the original no more. But here's the original right here on the day of Pentecost. Look at this. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call.
Amen.
You see, my friends, the Bible is our rule book of faith and practice. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And if we know and understand the scriptures, we will be well on our way having his guidance. Why? Because we trust him. How many of you trust the Lord? You see, my friends, he never guides his people contrary to the clear principles of his written word. Guidance comes from a knowledge of God himself. You got to know who God is. You got to learn how to trust him. We need to know what pleases him and what displeases him. Do you know there's things in your life that may be displeasing God and you don't even know it? You know why? Because Jesus said in the last days, he told the church, do not be deceived. Amen? Do not be deceived. And there's many deceivers that have come into the world. Praise God. There is no substitute for walking with God, sharing with him, and talking to him daily. There's no other substitute. There's nothing better. Can you think of something better than that? But one of the problems is that an unregenerated heart will find it very difficult to follow the divine favor of God. Why? Why? Well, you know, when you share with someone, hey, you know what? It's simple. Repent, turn from your evil ways, turn to God, ask God to forgive you, and then he will cover you in his blood, and then he will fill you with his spirit, and then you will be now heaven bound and a hell to shun.
Thank you, Lord.
It's simple. We get that, right? But why don't the other people get it in your life? It's right up here. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned, meaning since they have the Holy Ghost not in them, they look at you and all the things that you believe in as foolish. Don't get mad at me. Read the word. Get mad at the word. God said it. These people that don't know God will laugh and mock you. And they do not have the divine favor of God in their life. Look what it says also in Romans right up here. Look at this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This worship team that was singing this morning, they got life and peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because they've been born of God. This wasn't performance, it was worship. Look at this, because the carnal mind is enmity of God. What does that mean? That means there's a wall, and the unregenerated person, the one that's not saved, cannot cross over where we're at. There's a wall blocking, they can't get there. And because they have no mind like us, then their natural instinct is to reject it, to belittle it, to disbelieve it. But God tore that wall down when we repented. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when he filled us with his spirit, praise God. Look at this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot, say that with me, cannot please God. How many friends and family members do you know that want nothing to do with the things of God? Oh, it's just me. All your family's saved, right? Hallelujah. But look at this. Here's a word for us. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, this is what's on my license plate. You go outside, I got Romans 8 and 9. You read my license plate, that's what it says, Romans 8, 9. And I put this up there because at the last scripture verse is, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Are you catching that? Man, I get people asking, what does that mean? And I read them that scripture. I go, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sins? Have you asked God to cover you and wash away your sins by his blood? Have you received the Holy Ghost of promise? No, no, no. I go, well, guess what? You're not his. But it can be. And God then starts opening up supernatural doors for them. Because the gospel's being preached. Hallelujah. We are saved by the gospel. Can I get amen? Amen. The word of God. Now, our third point. Destruction of divine favor. This is where we have to veer away from. Can I get amen? Amen. We got to stand clear from this. When we read through the Bible, you shall see some people that did that attracted, they were drawn by God. And God's favor was upon their lives. And what others did that separated them from the divine favor. Did you know you could be separated from the divine favor? Oh, yeah. One of the greatest factors that will destroy the divine favor of God in a person's life is this, right up here, disobedience to God. And what character comes to mind in the Old Testament? What's one guy that comes to mind? Huh? King Saul's walk of disobedience. Instead of listening to God, God said, listen, I'm sending you to the town where the Ammonites live, and you have to destroy everything, even livestock. Destroy everything. And he went in there. He destroyed some, but he took the king alive, and he took the best of his cattle, and he took the gold. God said, don't bring all that back. Why are you going to Egypt to get your blessings when I want to bless you? You see, this is a word for us. Why do we need to go to the world for our blessing? When you trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. But look what God wrote down in the book of Samuel. Look at this. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. What? And you know what? We all think witchcraft is like bewitched. You know, tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. We got a wrong connotation on that. Biblical witchcraft is being rebellious and causing other people to stumble. Listen, I've said this many times. If you don't have anything good to say about someone, say nothing at all. Look what it says in verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Some of us are so afraid to share the gospel with our family members because we don't want to offend them. You better tell them that they're in sin. You better tell them that they don't repent. There's a place called Gehenna, a place called hell. This is how you love them. You tell them the truth. No one wants to see their family perish. I got 11 brothers and sisters. There's only three of us walking with God. And they want nothing to do with me. Why? Because we have nothing in common anymore. They want to party, drink, and go out hooting and corralling and all that. I have my youngest sister that could be up here with these beautiful sisters that were worshiping. And she's singing for the devil. A band out there in the world called Wild Thing. Blessed with a voice. And yet, there's people in our lives that are perishing. And some of us ain't saying nothing. Help us, God. Look at this, verse 25. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But you know what? He was putting on a show. Look at verse 26. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Wow. Now, there's another character who God called, God anointed, God blessed him, but he had one thing. He had a heart filled with so much lust. He went to every little town and always was looking for someone to fill his lustful heart. Samson's thirst for lust. This will take you off the path. One of the things that I could truly say without a shadow of a doubt, I've been walking with God for 34 years. There was a time back then where I felt I was getting cold. I started listening to the worldly music again. And this is before I married my wife. And I felt like there was a stronghold on me. And I was watching and hearing things I should never see no more or hear anymore. And guess what? Within weeks, I didn't feel the presence of God no more. It's that quick. Because God will not fellowship with darkness. God is holy. And our vessel should be what? Holy. Our vessel should be what? Holy. Purified by God. And when the flesh wants to have its way, we got to say no. We got to bind and rebuke this. This flesh wants to have a Burger King life. It wants to have it its way. It does. We got to know how to. God just said, no, I can't go there. I can't do that. God, convict my heart. I've had many times, God, just convict my heart. This flesh is weak. And then God brings me back to a place of total surrenderance unto him. And he reminds me, I've called you from your mother's womb. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, dust it off. Pick up your cross and continue to follow me. And then God restores you. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? Then God will restore you. Hey, hallelujah. Why? Because he loves us? Look at this. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all of his heart. He was laying with her and said, yeah, yeah, you know this, yeah, 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 my power is right here in my hair. That's like telling the devil everything that God has prepared for you. Look at this. Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. When's the last time we read that someone got sold like that? Jesus, huh? For 30 pieces of silver. Well, these Philistines says, there's got to be something at work here. Find it, and we'll pay you. Look at this in verse 19. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called the man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. So in other words, she was a lover that immediately became a hater. It was false love. It wasn't true love. She came to fulfill that moment of lust in his life. And that's what the devil will do. You start thinking on lustful things, God will let the devil bring you all kinds of lustful things. Can I get an amen? That's why we need to guard our hearts. Be in prayer. Have the anointing of God upon you. Have a shield around you. Can I get an amen? And look at this. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. That's no different from a saint of God being used by God, and then they fall in sin, and then they come up either singing or try to bring a word, and God's not even on them no more. They're just doing it of what they've learned. And so in closing, hallelujah, in closing, God's divine favor can bring a lot of blessings upon a person. And divine favor can have this effect. Number one, produce supernatural promotion and increase. Can I get amen? Amen. When you're walking with God, hallelujah, God will allow, like Jabez, increase your territory. Can I get amen?
Amen?
How many would rather have the blessings of God, the favor of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, hallelujah, upon your life? Because he's the God of promotion, not demotion. Can I get amen? You got to believe that God has established you from the foundation of the world. You got to believe what he has set in motion in your life. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'd rather have his increase. Because the enemy brings you something that's temporary. God gives you something that's everlasting to everlasting.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. He brings restoration of everything the enemy has stolen. Hallelujah. How many of you can honestly say that maybe in past relationships, past business experiences, things in your family, that the enemy has come and trampled on it? Because the enemy stole it. But God, hallelujah, he'll give everything back with the cankerworm. What the cankerworm has stolen from you.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Guess what he'll also do? He'll bring honor in the midst of your enemies. You ever had an enemy say, "Man, I think he's blessed by God."
Amen.
How many of you want to come to that place where your own enemies, some of them are in your own household, will say, "You know what? I can't fight this battle no more because God is with them." And it'll bring glory and honor to the Lord. Praise God. Guess what else he does? I love this right here. He produces increased assets. You know, for those of you who have been to my home, we've owned our home for 26 years. And the day we got our jacuzzi, it wasn't to go in and dip in. I had to convince my wife at the Del Mar Fair, when we stepped out of the Bing Crosby exhibition, there were a bunch of them out there in the open. And so I walked up and I said, "Wow." And Sister Yolanda came and grabbed my hand. "We don't need this. Come on, let's go." "We had one and you gave it away." "No, we don't need that." I go, honey, God has given me a vision right now. She goes, of what? I said, so I had to tell the sales guy, give me a moment. So I took her to the side. I go, honey, I keep seeing these flashes right now of all these souls we're going to be baptizing. As soon as she heard that, go get it. She didn't fight me no more. Because it was about God. It was about the Lord. So we bought it, right? Produce increase assets. So we got the jacuzzi. How many of you have been baptized in our jacuzzi that are here? And many others in the past by the grace of God. It's only but the grace of God. Now, what do I mean by produce increase assets? 26 years ago, we bought our home. And we were so blessed. Now, I got to share this because this is how good God is. Amen. And there's no big eyes and little U's. This is what he did for us, and he can do for you, and maybe he's done something even greater than that. But we bought our home, not through the conventional sense. You know, the conventional sense is you got to go and apply for a loan. It's got to go through an underwriter. You know, do you have enough ability? And at that time, I would write so many things off because I was a real estate agent, still am. And my income didn't show I made much because I had so many things I was writing off. And Sister Yolanda's credit wasn't the best. So there was no way we could buy that home. So you guys been to our property, 502 Douglas Street. So my broker at the time, Archer Sagman, says, hey, Fee, I have a house. I can't sell it. It won't move. Houses all around there are moving left and right. I can't sell this home. He goes, do you want to do an open house? I said, yeah. He goes, I'll give you $50 just to sit on there on Saturday. So I went in there. I sat, and nobody came. So when the day ended, I called him up and said, Archer, sorry, no one came. He goes, don't worry, Fiend. He goes, I don't know what's going on. But I'll see you Monday. Okay. So 3 months go by. And he calls me into the office. He goes, hey, Fiend, remember that open house you did for me in Chula Vista? Oh, yeah, yeah, I sat in there and no one came. He said, it belongs to my dear friend, Tom and Sandy Kozak. Their retirement home in New Mexico has just been completed. Now they have two mortgages and they can't afford it. I told them about you. And they said, write a check for $3,000 and they will sign the deed over to you. You mean they're going to quit claim the deed over to me? Yeah. He goes, if you don't take it, I will. I said, no. No. No, I want it. And I took Sister Yolanda there. We fell on our knees. We dropped oil on the carpet. And we claimed that this is our home. Hallelujah. Amen. We opened escrow. All I did was bring in $3,000 and went to them. And the house was ours. People have to walk. The people who buy homes, they got to walk in through the front door. Can I get an amen? God opened up the back door for us. Can I get an amen? Now, it gets better. It gets better with this house. Produce increased assets. Okay? So in 2008, the market crashed. And everybody was losing their houses. Oh, man, in Eastlake, every other house was foreclosed. They didn't have short sales then. And ours was in limbo, too. And Pastor Rick Moran, pastor, one of my pastors, he goes, hey, Finga, I found a way to save over 150 houses, but you got to trust me. I said, what? He goes, We've got 149 houses. Yours would be 150. He goes, all you have to do is come into the system and a blanket will be put over 150 homes. It'll be a federal injunction that no one can touch your homes until the process either completes or it fails. So for 2008 to 2013, the banks never came after us. And we were given that company $500 a month just to keep everything alive. Now, the person who operated this corporation, he got very ill and could not do this no more. So they couldn't keep the 150 away from the federal courts no more. So then within a week, we got a notice of foreclosure. We go, oh, honey, here we go again. I get a call from a guy named Jacobo Levy, this old Jewish guy who went to Temple Beth Shalom as a child. Pastor Rick was helping him save his homes. He goes, Pastor Fee, this is Jacobo. And you know what he said? He goes, are you still fighting for your home? I said, yes. He goes, I know a lady that can help you with your home. Her name is Marion Dixon. Let her come and help you. So I invited her over. She went through my portfolio. She took down all the information. She submitted the paperwork to the lender who was holding my deed, which is Wells Fargo. 30 days later, I get a letter back from them saying, congratulations, Mr. Sullivan. We have forgiven you for $189,000. You don't have to pay us back. You're on a 3% interest rate, and your payment went from $4,500 a month to $1,800. Wow. Hallelujah. I would be on my knees, but God, we served you in this home. Oh, God, help us, God. Lord, so many souls got saved. God said, you don't have to remind me. I know what I did through you. But you know what we discovered? The divine favor of God. Hallelujah. When you honor him, when you serve him, hallelujah, he'll come and save your bacon. I'm telling you, we're rejoicing. Huh? We're rejoicing to the way we got our home, the way he kept us in our home. It's all but the grace of God. It's all but the mercy of God. Hallelujah. It's his love toward those who serve him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And one last one here. Look at this. I need to put this one. He gives great and unusual victories, even against impossible odds. He will deliver you in your pickle. God will deliver you. Hallelujah. Let's stand right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I really believe God wants to do something so miraculous in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up here. Hallelujah. Someone's going through a situation right now where the odds are totally against everything that you could conceive. And God, hallelujah, is going to have a breakthrough this morning with you. Thank you, God. Some of you have family members that need healing. And the doctors have said this, that, and this. But God is saying, I'm going to do this, that, and that. How many of you right now can honestly say that greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.